it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're back with Total Information AM on KMOX. I'm Megan Lynch. There are now a number of reports that suggest that U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. plans to announce that the use of the painkiller acetaminophen by pregnant women may be linked to autism and other disorders in children. We wanted to learn more about the science behind this theory. And joining me now is Dr. Greg Sahas, an autism specialist and researcher in the Department of Psychiatry at WashU School of Medicine. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So I guess my first question is there any proven link between acetaminophen use by pregnant women and autism or ADHD?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say at this point, there's been a lot of focus on this in research over the last decade or plus, really. And what that shows so far is a mixed bag. I would say when we took use of the term proven, I think we want that to be something that's pretty clear cut. And I would say at this point, we don't have a proven link between those two.
One of the things that has been mentioned is that acetaminophen use could impact folate levels. Could you explain the relationship there and what that means for a developing child?
Yeah. Well, and again, without knowing what's going to be in this kind of upcoming report that we're all concerned about, it's hard to speculate. But my sense is actually that there's sort of two separate pathways, if you will, right? The thought or sort of the proposed mechanism of why we think or what we think Tylenol does, for example, is we think it could cause some oxidative stress in developing brains, which in turn will lead to some changes in the way that neurons are connected and fire, and from there, how we develop from a neurodevelopmental perspective. On the same, or sort of flip side, I should say, with folate, we know that folate is very important in neurodevelopment overall. The thought there is that there might actually be, specifically with cerebral folate, as opposed to kind of a whole body deficiency, the thought there is that there is maybe in kids with autism, a higher amount of, let's say, antibodies against folate receptors, which actually decreases the amount of folate that your brain absorbs, which we, again, know can cause some problems when it comes to development of typical neuron firing. Those are the proposed mechanisms. These are all kind of theories. I want to also say that, though, and these are not really, I would say, fully fleshed out. These are just what we think might be explanations for these.
Are there other things that you wish that researchers would focus on as potential causes of autism?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I'll say, you know, I'm not a basic science researcher. I'm predominantly, you know, clinical, or I would say overall my orientation, but this is a big area, I think, of focus when I talk with parents, when I talk with families, and when I talk with patients overall. And I think what I would say is that, you know, our field is doing a really great job of, I think, getting to underlying causes of autism. And, you know, we call autism a spectrum for a reason. It's got a lot of different ways it can present. It can cause really high need for supports throughout the life, or can have relatively modest ones by comparison. And I think that's reflected in, you know, why we're sort of still trying to figure out what causes autism overall and how it can look so different. I think where we've really shined a good light on here recently has been the genetic causes of autism. And that has, I would say, the best body of evidence when it comes to what we know can cause autism. We think that autism is predominantly a genetically caused syndrome, though we think there's certainly environmental and we call epigenetic reasons for why we sort of develop autism, right? We think that those things probably contribute as well. There's different ways you can get there. And so to me, I think focusing on just Tylenol, where I actually think, you know, we have some good evidence here to suggest actually that it may not have much of an impact at all. In fact, there was a really great paper that came out last year in the Journal of the American Medical Association that looked at 2 million patients and eventual adults in looking at sort of the amount of or the use of Tylenol in pregnancy and how that contributed to or didn't contribute to the development of autism. And what they found when they controlled with siblings was that there was not really a clear link. There are studies that show, yes, there is some, no, there's not a link. But this is about as good of a study as we've had, I would say, just in terms of the volume and I would say the statistical rigor. So to me, I think focusing just on Tylenol is not going to, I think, really get to the bottom of what, I think we can do to sort of one, define autism, right, from a mechanism standpoint. But then two, how can we kind of better serve our patients that way?
So when we look at this, and obviously, as you mentioned, we don't know quite what's going to come out with this report. It was promised in September that there would be some report on autism. And taking all the politics aside, when a report comes out and says, we think this might be a cause or it might not be, does that concern you as a physician, how the public takes in that information and decides to use it? I mean, could this be problematic if pregnant women stop taking something like Tylenol?
Well, I get why people get concerned about these things. I think we live in an environment where we get our information from all over the place, right? And I think it gets filtered through any number of ways until it gets to the person, right? That's social media, that's TV, any number of ways that that information goes through. And I think for me, I think the thing that's important is to again say, the evidence for this, the science behind this really does not show that link. And so to me then, what I want to stress is, this is an important thing to talk about with your physician, especially for our pregnant families, is to talk about this with your physician, talk about this with your OBGYNs to make a good choice for you. Because, pain is a really important thing and it's a under-discussed thing in pregnancy. And really, there's not a lot of options in treating pain. And we know that pain can cause increased stress. Increased stress can increase your risk of preterm labor, which in turn can actually increase your risk of autism in children. And so talking about these things as they're coming out with your experts, right, the ones that you know and who know you best to come up with a good plan and talk about what these studies mean is the most important thing. So you can make an individualized choice and to again go over that evidence with somebody that you feel like you can trust.
Dr. Sejas, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.